Well, welcome, friends. Welcome if you're online with us. I'm glad you've joined us in that way. Welcome. Good to see you guys. Each year here at Emmaus, we take a Sunday to basically report on the state of the church. And this is really more like a family talk than an official kind of State of the Union kind of thing. This is more, I'd like you to kind of imagine we're sitting around a dinner table together. This is sort of the feel and the tone that we'd like to be able to communicate and hold together, so that we can share just with one another how this is going. This, like what's happening right here. Shared lives, shared relationships, shared resources, shared purpose of bringing restoration to our homes, to our neighborhoods, and to Placer County. What we refer to as the church, especially this specific church, Emmaus Church Community, it's happening all the time. Right? We had our first unofficial gathering in 2004. We had our first official Sunday meeting 2005. And we've been going ever since. This is week number 878 for us, right? We just keep going. It is good. It's so good. And it's just it's a constant thing. One of the questions that I get asked all the time, especially over the holidays, is like, how's the church? That's the question. How's the church? As if the church is its own identity. As if someone would ask, kind of like someone would say, how's your daughter? Or how's your mom? How's the church? And in a sense, the church does have its own identity. And in a sense, we did sort of create something together 17 years ago. But in most ways, friends, the church is simply us, right? When people say, I'm so frustrated with the church, or I so love the church, or we have a problem with the church, I just want to replace the word church with us, because that's essentially what it is, right? We're talking about how are we doing. The question, how is the church doing, appropriately understood, is the question, how are we doing, right? How are we doing? How are we doing receiving the truth and the grace of God? How are we doing loving one another? How are we doing with this commission to bring restoration in the name of Jesus everywhere we go? So the question, how's the church doing, is the question, how are we doing? And of course, that's a complex question, because we are hundreds of people living real lives which overlap at some pretty significant points, specifically our devotion to Jesus. I asked a friend that I saw at a baseball tryout yesterday, how's your marriage? He said, good, it's good, we're good. And I believe him. I believe him, but I also know that was kind of an unfair question to ask, right, on a sidewalk around a baseball tryout, and I know that the honest answer to that question is way more complex than we're good. You know, he could probably take an hour honestly responding to the question, how's your marriage? The question, how's the church? Totally fair question. We should do our best to transparently, honestly, as completely as possible answer that question this morning, but realize that we could take days to answer the question, how's the church? How's this church? And we could take a week and look at all the different facets of it. We're not going to attempt an exhaustive answer this morning. We're going to take 25 minutes for this part of our gathering to report on last year, to celebrate some big victories, to thank God for the gift of sharing this common life together, the gift of being part of this church. And so I'm glad that you've joined us today. And if you're new with us, this is a little bit of a strange Sunday to visit a church. But I'm so glad you're here on this Sunday, because you're going to get welcomed right into the kitchen. And you're going to hear like what's actually happening here. You're going to be able to discern what we value as a community and how it's going, how effective we're being as a church. All right? So we've got most of our staff team up here who's going to share in different parts this morning, and with some of the easier to measure dynamics of church community is our executive pastor, Rich Lester. Thanks.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. All right. So some of the easiest ways to measure things is financial stuff and attendance. It's kind of the old school church metrics, knowing that this really does not actually translate into really how we are doing, right? This is just one measurement, as Nate just said. After the financial and some of the attendance stuff that I'm about to share. We'll get into really some of the more fun part that I'm excited about is hearing more about the ministry reports and really kind of how that translated down. So community and care is hard to measure. Financial stuff's a lot easier. So I took the easy part. So Emmaus's total budget for 2021 was $649,000. That's like our whole budget that we estimated as a board and staff what would come in. But the church was actually more generous than what we had planned, and we ended up with $65,730 in the positive at the end of the year. Praise God, right? So we had more income in our general fund than expenses. But here's the part that I really enjoy. We gave away $32,775, and that was just to Lincoln Delivers. This is a program where we were supporting our local cafes and restaurants here in town through the pandemic. We didn't want any of them to close. So that was $32,000 that we gave away from that general fund that you guys gave to our restaurants here. I don't think we've had any closures of restaurants in Lincoln through the pandemic. Just imagine all the jobs that represents. We also gave away an additional $84,000 on top of that elsewhere. This does not even include the Foundry, which is another large ministry here at Emmaus. That $84,000, I kind of took a little breakdown of some examples to kind of give you an idea of where those monies went. A good chunk of it went to support our church network. And what that means is international missions, a ton of international missions. Our church network, we have more churches and more people in our church network in Africa now than we have in the United States. I mean, it's like huge. It's growing leaps and bounds. So a lot of money went to international missions, hospitals all over the world. I have actually went and visited one in Papua New Guinea. It was incredible. And planting new churches. So a bunch of new churches are being planted through the support that we give to our church network. We also give to some other missionaries, some that of people from our own community. David and Sandy White live in the Philippines. We support them. Also, Sophia Hennings now in South Africa, and Selah Cortez in Mexico. We've also given some of that money to our Christian schools regionally. William Jessup University, we support William Jessup, as well as Point Loma Nazarene University, and also a number of individual scholarships to our college-age kids here. Also supporting kids going to Christian camps, also helping to underwrite some of the cost for psychological services for folks in the community that need some counseling, some help through that sort of thing. Also a bunch of benevolence. We've paid rent, we've bought grocery cards, we've sent flowers to sick people, we've help people struggle with meals, et cetera. I mean, just a huge amount of kind of those one-off type things that have happened. So altogether, that's $84,000 in 1 year. So that's kind of a little bit of the financial side of things. So attendance. Attendance in the beginning of 2020, right before COVID, right, we were about 325. The average, that's in person alone. The in-person went down, obviously, at the end of 2020 as a result of the very obvious thing that we can't stop talking about, down to 175 people. And now we've slowly been increasing, and now we're about 225 in-person. Our online attendance before COVID was zero because we didn't have online church, right? And then it went up to like 500. And then now we're at about 400. And then in addition to all that, we estimate about 160 people are in home groups or groups of some sort. And that doesn't even include the youth ministry, which Courtney will share more about in a little while. And then the other big change, 2021 was huge for our staff. We started the 2021 with massive holes in our staff. I mean, Angela was doing like five jobs. So we onboarded Dre in February for the Foundry. onboarded Leah McKinney in May as our kids director, and Courtney as our youth director in August. And then we also celebrated Angela being ordained in April as well. So it was a huge year for our staff. So as you can see, this is kind of a really general overview of the financial aspects of the church and attendance. If you ever have any questions about the financial stuff, we're super transparent. Just ask me. I don't mind sharing that kind of stuff. So anyway, and then Nate.
If we could take a picture, and we did actually, we took a few pictures, but if we could just capture 2021 in like a highlight reel, we would have done a video of a weekend in June, which just highlighted kind of the church at its best as we thought back over the year. So I want to just take you back to that weekend, give you a sense of what happened. On Saturday, 55 kids and their families met at a lake nearby and had a great picnic and playtime in the water. One of the students was baptized. The next day, you can keep that up for a little bit more. The next day, we met at the Lester's home for a baptism of more people, and 180 people showed up to the Lester's. We had tacos outside. We baptized 12 people in their pool. Earlier that morning, here in Sunday morning, we dedicated 12 kids to God, and we're going to get to do that again this morning. And then we also honored 6 high school graduates, and we announced 2 staff announcements that day in this weekend, and 2 families joined the church. So it was just this beautiful kind of holistic picture of community, spiritual dynamic happening, transformation taking place, milestones being set down, and we look back on that with a lot of gratitude that weekend in June. In all, 17 people were baptized in 2021 through Emmaus Church. If you are one of those who was baptized in 2021 and you're here, would you stand up? Right on. All right. You're representing. Good job. All right. I have to get the attendance of the newly baptized figured out there, I think. Typically, we... I don't know how this, I think just the general thinking about membership was, let's sort of be understated about it. We've usually communicated new members through the newsletter or something like that. We do have an official membership here at Emmaus and feel like the value there is the articulation of commitment to a local church. There's just huge value in saying, this is my church, I'm committed to this church. Because of the relational challenges of the last couple years, I need to shift gears on how we do this now. I don't, in other words, it doesn't feel quite enough to just put names in a newsletter, as these are folks who are articulating a commitment to this local church as their home church. And so what I'd like to do is ask those of you who officially joined the church, I think the potential awkwardness of standing up in a room is outweighed by the value of people seeing names and connecting faces and going, these are folks who are saying, this is my home church. So if you joined the church in 2021, there were 12 people who became members of Emmaus in 2021. If you joined sometime in 2021 and you're here, would you stand? Super. Right on. Good, good. Welcome, welcome. Welcome, you guys. So good. That's great. I'm so glad that you're here. And then last week, we'll get to celebrate these guys again in a year, but last week, 12 more people joined the church, just last week. If you just joined Emmaus last week, would you stand up? Right on. Welcome, welcome. Good. If you don't know any names of the folks who stood up, that's what I'd like you to do before you leave today, is find these folks, introduce yourself, and make sure you learn some names. All right. Courtney Alves is rocking it as our youth ministry director. Would you come join us and share some updates? Thanks.
Thank you. So I stepped into this role in August of 2021. We officially launched the semester on September 1st. And really the anchor of our youth ministry this last semester was our Wednesday night youth groups. We all meet here at the theater on Wednesday nights. We have 3 groups for ages 4th through 12th grade. Upstairs, we have Fuel 45. That's for our 4th and 5th grade students. They're kind of like a junior youth group. Leah McKinney leads that. And that's serving a really specific need in that transitional period from children's ministry to youth ministry. So they're upstairs doing their thing. Downstairs, we have Ignite. That's our 6th through 8th grade group. And Ember is 9th through 12th grade here in the sanctuary. It is a lot of people, a lot of energy. It has been a great thing to be a part of. We also started before school Bible study, emphasis on before school, like 6:30 in the morning. We were meeting at a coffee shop in Loomis each week. We were studying Ephesians, and it was a great practice for me and for the students to have a pause in the week to just build this discipline and the connection together. We partnered with local churches and ministries for fun events or service projects with packaging meal boxes, and we really emphasized the connection and relational work of this ministry. We will go to their basketball games, their band concerts, the livestock auctions at the fair. Didn't know that was a part of the job description, but I spent a good 2 days at the Placer County Fairgrounds. And it is, in September when we started, we had a talk with the students of the focus is knowing Jesus, knowing others, and being known. And so the Bible study before school and the costume movie night on a Friday are all serving a purpose. Where it's through the essence of everything we're doing is intentional. It's all meeting a need with these kids. Now, I majored in math, if you didn't know. So I'm really excited to share some numbers with you guys. But on September 1st, on our kickoff, we had 62 students in this building. We went from about 40s, I think, to averaging high 50s and 60s every week throughout 2021. We went from 2 volunteers plus staff support to 14 volunteers. They are really enabling the good work that we're doing with all of these students. They have been such a blessing to this group. With the increase in students, we have been able to reach a lot of students outside these walls as well. Over 20% of our regular students here Wednesday nights aren't here Sunday mornings. They're either from another church community locally, they're friends of our students, or they're just hearing word through the networks. And that has been really exciting too, as we're kind of transitioning from building something new to applying the structure we have outside of these walls. So that's something we're really looking forward to this year as well, and a great step forward at the end of the year. So we were able to reach a lot of students within our own youth ministry and also through the Foundry Youth Center. They're just a block south of us on Lincoln Boulevard. Last annual meeting, we announced that Dre was the new director. She came in with a lot of vision and passion for these youth. And at the end of the year, they really got in their groove. There were, I think, 60 plus kids a day in that room. Yes, they were able to really expand the breadth of the reach they're having in this community. This school year alone, there's been over 300 students that have come through the Foundry. They're there for tutoring, for support, for just a safe place to be. So that's 300 stories with different backgrounds and baggage and emotions coming into this space where they can feel safe, they can be loved, they can be poured upon. And we're really just looking forward to this next year. And we are grateful for your support and just ask that you continue to support us and just pray that we can have the wisdom and provision to lead these students this year. Thanks. And wait. Okay, now Angela Henning is going to share with us just about some of the community work this past year.
Thanks, Courtney. Okay, can you hear me? Okay, for some of you who've been with us for a while, you know we didn't always have this great building that we're meeting in. For years and years, we met at an elementary school in town, and we were grateful for a place to meet for so many years, but then God gifted us this theater. And one of the visions we had for this theater was what we couldn't do with just a rental space. We couldn't share that school during the week with other organizations. But now we have this theater, and one of our goals for restoration was to be able to allow the greater community to use our space and to share that and to just know that we are part of this community. So this year in 2021, we made such great progress doing this. We've had DLA meetings almost every month here. That's the Downtown Lincoln Association. We've handed out candy at Halloween. People came through the downtown area, and they actually got to say, oh, there's a church that meets here. And we get to meet, I think it was this year, I met like 600 people just walking down through the downtown Lincoln. The police department has used our building a couple times this year. They had a promotion there. Lincoln High School met here, and every member of their staff and teachers was here for an all-day event being trained, and it was so great just to be able to serve them in this community organization that we continue to pray for. Lincoln High School Club met here. We partnered with National Night Out, which was just right outside the doors, and then a Foundry Information Night. So we're just grateful. We're grateful to be able to share this. This is not just a place where we come just on Sundays, but we're able to share a resource to those in our community. So that's what is we've done. Some of the many ways we've done this on the bigger outside the community. But I want to talk now about what's happening inside our Emmaus community. So there's a group of people who've been very intentional this year of caring for our church, caring for our community. We tried to track the calls, and it's probably still a little low, but probably 750 calls were made, whether they were texts, whether they were in-person visits, whether it was a meal, whether it was dropping off some flowers. We reached out and loved one another in so many different ways when people were sick, when we didn't see them for a while and we just wanted to make sure they're okay. And it was just an intentional weekly practice we're doing. And before it used to be the staff doing all of this, and now we just have so many loving people who are just using that to show the love of Christ within our own community. And that's just been so encouraging. I could talk for days about the stories that I hear about some of us reaching out to others of us and just loving each other. It's just beautiful. And so speaking of community, when it comes to community, I wanted to share that after several years hiatus, we are bringing back the Emmaus family camping trip. So a lot of us who have gone to that loved it. It's a way to connect that's sometimes a little bit different. It's going to be June 17th through 19th at Scott's Flat. Registration is going to open up in February. I will let you know. But I know for those of you who like to plan your calendar, mark it now so you won't want to miss it. So, and right now, speaking of things we've done in the community, I'd like to welcome Jackie Turner from Acres of Hope up here. And I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Nate.
Let me just highlight one quick thing that I just want to make sure that we heard before I introduce Jackie to you. The level of community involvement this year was stronger than it's ever been in our church. And one of the indicators of that is the amount of meals that were shared. This was easier to track. Do you know that we shared 260 meals this last year? That's a meal provided for somebody in this church every weekday of the year. There's just the effort taken to cook, shop, drive, deliver, and provide in love in a really tangible way. It's my favorite statistic of our whole meeting, 260 meals provided. So, all right, Jackie, thanks for joining us today. Jackie is with Acres of Hope in Auburn. At Christmas, we raised money for two organizations, an international organization called AIM, which targets human trafficking, and then a local organization here in Placer County, they're up in Auburn, which provides housing for women and children in transition. And it's just our privilege to be a part of the ministry that you guys are doing. It's so practical. It's so effective. It's often an issue that we struggle to know, how do we help with this homelessness issue? We feel like in you guys, we have a partner that's got a track record of effectiveness. So I just wanted to report, we haven't yet, that over Christmas we raised about $6,000. Half of that's going to go to Acres of Hope. And we're going to, So we're going to share this check for $3,052 with Jackie and Acres of Hope. And I just wanted to welcome you and invite you to just speak to the church, if you would, for a minute.
Calvary was a place right outside the walls of Jerusalem. And that place was one of the greatest places of suffering to an innocent man, Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about that, because it was a bridge. That moment, that experience was a bridge that connected the chosen to the outcast and brought them all to a place where they could be under one God, living as one family. You see, there is still suffering going on outside the walls of the church. And that suffering is a calling to all of us to rise up and answer, just like Jesus did. Those outcasts are homeless mothers and children that today are living in tents under a bridge, are fighting to figure out their way out. And one of the beautiful things about a place called Acres of Hope is that we still are fighting to see the suffering, the outcasts outside of the walls of society and say, there is a family that loves you. There are people that see the suffering, and there is a way of help. So that's what Acres of Hope is. I'm glad, since we're doing reporting this year, I'm glad to report that over this pandemic, we have had alumni, mothers, and children step out of our campus and multitudes moving into their own home. About 40% of those alumni not only moved out working full-time jobs, but also starting college. For some reason, many of them wanted to go into criminal law. Many of them work amongst you now and serve in the community. Some of our alumni are leading Bible studies because every morning at around between 8 to 10 a.m., they are doing Bible studies, learning exegetical studies of the Word of God, and it's transforming them from the inside out. That's one of the top things of Acres of Hope I want you to know. Because without transformation, we will continue feeding millions of dollars into a problem that is like a David versus Goliath. The reason why Acres of Hope is having the success it is because God is transforming the lives of mothers and children at Acres of Hope. So I want to share these reports with you. If you haven't come out for a tour, we invite you in. We're very transparent. We want you to see firsthand how the power of God is moving at Acres of Hope. We want you to see the mothers, we want you to see the children, and we want you to experience transformation. The outsiders are no longer living as outcasts. They are living as one under the family of God. So thank you for supporting Acres of Hope. Thank you for transforming the lives of mothers and children, and thank you for being a part of the hope that Jesus Christ offers us. Calvary no longer is a place of suffering. It's a place that reveals the greatest love story of all, God's love for us, and we get to be that love to homeless mothers and kids. Thank you.
All right, we're so grateful to have Leah McKinney directing our kids' ministry, and so she's going to share a little bit about how that's going.
Okay, so it was early, thank you, early 2021, and I was sitting like right back there, and remember how everything was all spread out in the little chairs, and I had my family with me, and I don't know about you, but I was stressed out every Sunday morning, because like all my parenting was going to be on display to the whole church. This is like me as the kids director. Anyway, I was sitting there listening to Nate's sermon in a flip-flop, like flung up from my child's foot, who was swinging and smacked me in the face, and I was like, we need kids ministry back. And we did that in March. So 2021, our classrooms reopened with the help of Angela. So many of our faithful teachers signed back up and got back in the classrooms. So many people who were not in kids ministry just said, okay, I'll do it. And they joined us in the classrooms. And so that was a huge highlight. We serve on average about 40 kids every week, or who actually comes. However, that is like a revolving group of different kids. When I look at a list, I can pull them up from KidCheck. We have a few over 100 kids that are part of our Emmaus community, and that's like elementary and under. That's not even our teenagers. And so those are the kids that we are modeling love. We are teaching them what it looks like to build your house on the rock. Like David talked about last week, we are the community that needs to model and love and show them what this looks like. In truth, none of that would happen without this amazing community who serves. We have about 25 adults and 14 teenagers who do that every week. We could not run kids ministry without our Ember and our Ignite students. You should see some of our kids with the toddlers. They love them. You should see Bodie is up there right now wrangling like 9 third graders. It's amazing. And then we have adults that come in and just lead and teach and serve. You should know about this team. Not every one of them love, like they all love kids, but they would not all say I'm a kids person. I have so many people come to me and say this actually really isn't my thing, but I know there's a need and I'm willing to serve. And God shows up and uses them. And so if you've ever had that be the thing that holds you back, you can just let that go because God fills in the gaps for us. So with that, we are going to 2 services next week. And on every team, kids, ushers, greeters, food, communion, worship, we all as a community need to step in and fill that greater need to be able to support and sustain this community. We do such a great job of that. I hope that you've heard and seen yourself in the stories that are shared this morning. When we say meals have been served, you're like, oh, I got meals. I remember making meals. Events that have happened, serving in youth ministry, serving in kids, that you've heard yourself in these stories, because that is really all of us. So I'm going to be down here. It's so fun to see all the highlights and see the pictures, but really the joy and the growth comes in the grunt work of showing up early on Sunday mornings. And so I'll just throw it out there because I have the microphone. So I'm going to be up front here, and I will help you get plugged into a team. So if you want to be involved in a greater way, come see me after church. And whether it's kids or ushering or you're not even sure, you're just like, oh, I'm ready to jump into a new level, then I will be up here and be happy to get that started for you. I have been praying for our 11 a.m. team for weeks. Like, God, how is this going to happen? And I had 2 people say yes to me recently, and I had 2 people say, let's talk about it. We need a few more, honestly, to make that work, but I know that God knows the needs of everybody here and that he can fill it. So if that's on your heart at all, come see me, and I'll give it back to Nate.
All right, the last thing that we want to share in, by way of report is perhaps the most obvious, but it is no longer something we take for granted, which is this. We gathered for worship every Sunday in 2021. Isn't that good? We're grateful for that. When Melissa pointed that out to us a couple of weeks ago, I thought, man, we just wanted to end with that. We received good teaching from a dozen different people in our gatherings, including Melissa Lester, Rich Lester, Christina Wilkins, Leah, and our friends Marcy and Muhia from Nairobi, and our friends Israel Alvarez, originally from Mexico, who's now leading Spanish-speaking churches in our network. And I'm just grateful for the wealth of wisdom and solid preaching that's happening just from within our own community. There were several special gatherings. There was a big art demonstration on Good Friday. There was a Christmas Eve gathering with a 25-voice choir that several of you participated in as well. And we just want to look back on the year and say to God, thank you. We survived 2021. It was a really, really hard year for the church. The general church. 2020 was a little bit more cataclysmic and shocking. The cracks began to divide. Pastors began to resign in droves in 2021. And the challenges that we faced as a community and successfully navigated, I just don't think we want to overlook and take that for granted. So to God be the glory. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of a place and freedom to gather and for people who value one another enough that we continued to say we are going to meet as a church and do the fundamental work of Christian community together. So God bless you, and thank you, Lord, for your goodness in that regard. Amen. Amen.